Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Something a lot of high schoolers and their parents are about to find themselves diving into, the college admissions process. It isn't what it used to be when today's parents were investigating and applying for schools. In fact, if you have several children, the process may have become more complicated in the time between today and when your previous college-bound student began the process. So we have invited two experts to share some advice. Lee Bierer has been on this program several times before talking about this topic. She is a college admissions coach and president of College Admissions Strategies here in Charlotte. Welcome back. Good to see
you. Thanks for having me.
And she is in our Spirit Square studio. Joining us by phone is Willard Dix, a college admissions expert and a contributor to Forbes, who also works with students to help them navigate this process. Thank you for joining us, too. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear you. I thought I didn't have you there for a second. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org, search for WFAE on Facebook, or get to us through Twitter at Charlotte Talks. For whom is this college season, admission season, right? The one we're talking about right now, is it just for high school seniors? Is it for high school juniors? Is it for freshmen? Who's it for, Lee?
Well, it is for seniors, right? Seniors are applying right now. Okay, so deadlines for applications to colleges are due October, November, December, January, typically. And so the in terms of stress levels, it's absolutely the most stressful for seniors and their families. But absolutely, juniors and sophomores should be thinking about colleges, putting together their college list, thinking about testing, thinking about visiting campuses, things like that.
In truth, Will, have they not been thinking about this since, I guess, they were juniors, maybe even sophomores in some case? Have their parents been thinking about this for a longer time than most of the kids have been thinking about this?
I think probably. The news always seems to come up earlier and earlier, particularly for high school kids, but it's certainly not unheard of that people are planning for college even earlier than high school.
Well, I was going to ask you if we're experiencing some sort of season creep here. Is this process becoming earlier? Because the kids just went back to school in Charlotte-Mecklenburg,
right?
And already they're thinking about next year. So is it earlier than it used to be?
It's earlier than it used to be, you know, decades ago. excuse me. Colleges, particularly in the Southeast, have very early deadlines.
Why?
So, I don't know the genesis of it all, but I can tell you that NC State, Chapel Hill, South Carolina, Georgia Tech all have October 15th deadlines. So nationally, the trend is more towards November 1st for early deadlines, but it's even earlier here in a lot of the bigger Southeast schools.
Is that because they're trying to steal the cream of the crop?
It could be.
part of the reason.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think that's partly right. Is colleges sort of tried to get an advance on the kids who are applying, so they sort of creep up the deadlines. Not all the deadlines are necessarily deadlines. There are sometimes indications that a college will give you preferential treatment or preferential housing or something like that if you apply by a certain time. One of the stress parts, though, I think that people should kind of consider is that a lot of the stress, I should say, is, I think, geared up by the press, because we usually talk about, the Harvards and the Stanfords with single-digit admission rates. But the fact is, most colleges in the United States accept over 50% of their applicants. So, in fact, there are lots of options for applications that don't require a lot of, fingernail grasping.
You're nodding in agreement.
Absolutely. I mean, the panic is over, the top 50 schools in the country that accept you know, 5% at Stanford, or, you know, the Ivies are, you know, single digits, as Will said. But the vast majority of colleges out there are still pretty open, and it's not it doesn't need to cause undue stress for families. But so many people are focused on those few.
And I want to talk about stress, particularly the stress that parents are live through every time they have to go through this with a child. We'll do that in a moment. But the season has already also moved forward, I'm told, I understand, because the period for when you start applying for financial aid has advanced from January to October. Why?
Well, it's October 1st is when the FAFSA is opened.
What is that?
FAFSA is the Free Application for Federal Student Aid. And it's the but what you have to understand is that it is now, it gets a little complicated, but it's prior year. So it is your taxes from 2 years ago. So it is actually, I think, a better thing for families because they can be more prepared and they don't have to have just last year's taxes, which is what it used to be.
So we've talked about how this process has changed since you and I were in college, mm-hmm. and since maybe your first child went to, because even if you have a child that's 3 years behind the first child who went, the process may have changed. Why does it keep changing, Will? Why can't you just leave it alone?
Well, I think the context has changed. So the rise of technology, the rise of online courses and degrees, colleges have to keep up with the market just the way any other business does. I think we sometimes think of college as being separate from everything else that goes on in the economy and so on. But the fact is, as one college decides to start their application process a little early, another one has to think, okay, as you said before, you know, taking the cream of the crop, maybe we should get in on that as well. And so there's often a domino effect that way. And I think that's one big reason for the change.
And the process.
And just the.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish.
Oh, I was going to say that even things like moving to electronic applications, online applications, and a lot of schools now, that's the only kind they have. We had a transition period where it was paper and electronic, and now a lot of schools are strictly electronic. And that contributes to a general speeding up of the process, things like that.
This is a multi-layered process, this application process, and we're going to talk about some of the things, particularly the dreaded essay that is part of this process. But you, Will, used to be an admissions officer at Amherst College. So from your point of view, I know every college is different, but from your point of view, what are colleges looking for in students, and what are colleges looking for in parents? Because that does come into play, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I think. Are you thinking just about the essay, or in general?
Just in general.
Well, I think the students that stick out are obviously. Generally going to be very active academically and extracurricularly. I think what colleges look for in parents is the support that they give their kids, but not the interference that they might think is necessary. So the parents who call for their kids, I had more than one call when I was in the admission office from a parent pretending to be a child, which was kind of awkward when I realized what was going on.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I think colleges like to see in an applicant a kind of authenticity that the applicant is not too staged, let's say, and that parents have done a good job supporting that applicant in his or her general life experience.
So both of you work one-on-one with students, and you've been doing this for a long time here in the Charlotte area, Lee. So mm-hmm. What counts the most? What do you tell kids, and what do you tell parents about what counts the most? Is it grades in high school? Is it your extracurricular activities, either in high school or out of school, your volunteer work, the fact that you play the violin, or you have, you're active in something like martial arts, and it's not just all academics, your SATs, the essay? What's the key? What are the keys?
Well, I think from a college admissions perspective, there's nothing that's more important than the rigor of a student's curriculum and their performance in those classes. So taking the most challenging classes that a student can take and doing the best they can do.
If you didn't do well in your early years in high school, is there redemption? Mm-hmm. If you suddenly surged forward in class, do they look at that and go, well, maybe his or her GPA is not what we'd like it to be, but there's been clear performance improvement? Mm-hmm.
You want to see an upward trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you want, yes,
yeah. I think.
I would, yeah. I mean, I think that that's really important.
Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, it's a lot better than going the other way.
Yeah.
You don't want to start off strong and kind of trail off at the end.
So let's talk about the essay. This is a dreaded thing, and both of you have focused on this part of the process. You wrote a whole chapter in a book, Will, about this. For a college counselor training manual, what are colleges looking for in this work of fiction? I mean, this work of writing? And how should students approach the essay?
We all say what a dreaded thing it is. I guess it is when you're going through it. I think if kids can sort of take a little step backwards and say, okay, I'm going to have fun with this essay. I'm going to try out something and enjoy writing and think about entertaining the person who's going to be reading it. And I think that's one of the big issues for kids is they're used to writing for their teacher. To someone they know, someone that they've sussed out what they like, what they don't like. And this is really the first time for most of them that they're writing for someone they don't know and have no idea, you know, what their criteria are. So they can really only write for themselves and enjoy what they're writing. So my first approach with students is, as we look at the prompts and the various themes that are on the common application, let's say, which tend to be fairly broad, just let's talk about it. Let's throw out some ideas, see what's going on, and then just kind of coax them into writing about something or even talking about it and then writing it down. I've had kids who have actually more or less written their essays while they're talking about it.
Huh.
In my office. They end up talking about one of their a hobby, let's say canoeing. I'll just throw it out there, and they talk about this wonderful time when we were up in Canada and doing this and so on and so forth with my dad. And I said, boom, that's your essay. And they look startled because it's not they haven't written a kind of a scholarly tract or anything like that. I said, it doesn't have to be scholarly. It has to be you. It has to ring with some kind of authenticity.
I want to talk some more about this essay when we come back from the break, which we have to take right now. Woodard Dix is with us. He's a college admissions expert. And Lee Beer is here, also college admissions coach and the president of College Admissions Strategies at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at Mazda of South Charlotte. It's Charlotte Talks on listener funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. So Will Dix is with us from Chicago. He's a college admissions expert who writes about this for Forbes and works with students on the admissions process. So does Lee Beer here in Charlotte, where she is right now. She's a college admissions coach and the president of College Admission Strategies. This essay is completely subjective. That's one of the scary things about it, because as Will just said, you don't know who you're writing it for. So you're writing it for yourself. And you don't know whether to be lighthearted, whether you want to be a tearjerker, whether you want to be intellectual, etc. You just don't know. But you have, Lee, written a column about how to avoid certain essay faux pas.
Yes.
So tell us what they might be.
Well, I think there are. I always tell my students that you have to. Your essay is competing for time with all of the other essays that they're reading. So an admissions officer might be reading 50, 100 essays a day. So if what you say has to be different, and you certainly have to catch their attention right from the beginning of the essay. But as Will said, it really needs to be authentic. It needs to be about what the student is passionate about, what they care about, what makes them tick. And that's what trips up most kids, because they're like, I don't know, you know, what am I going to write about, right? You know, and so it's really a question of trying to challenge them to dig a little bit deeper, to be a little bit more introspective and insightful.
And it seems to me that, because I've read some things young people have written recently, and I've heard this from teachers, that students today have difficulty critically thinking, and they have difficulty putting their thoughts down on paper. They can talk, but when it comes to sitting down and writing it out, it reads like a first grade primer sometimes. What about that challenge? And have you seen that? Has that become an increasing problem over the years?
I see a lot of grammar mistakes, certainly. I see also everything in lowercase because they're used to texting.
Right.
Right, so nothing.
And no punctuation.
No punctuation at all. So so there are challenges. But, you know, most of the kids sort of understand that this is a serious essay and that they have to challenge themselves to really come up with not just a good idea, but it has to involve this critical thinking.
Well, talk to me about this, because everybody has a word processor, probably Word, and Word has grammar check and spell check and this check and that check, but I have found it is often wrong.
Yes.
And it often does not allow you to, or doesn't want you to do certain things that are perfectly okay to do, they're stylistically. Mm-hmm. So should you be... When a person reads this at the college, Will, are they looking for perfection in grammar and spelling and punctuation, etc., or are they more interested in the ideas being expressed?
I think the expectation is that the writer does have some grasp of grammar and spelling, but they're not grading the essays on grammar and punctuation. They're really looking for the content. So an occasional misspelling or an occasional missing period isn't going to doom anybody. And again, as Lee said, admission people are reading 50, maybe 100 essays a day. And that doesn't really allow for, you know, fine-tooth comb red pen correction. So if there is a real carelessness about the submission, then that matters.
Can you use the same essay for multiple schools, Lee?
So multi-purposing essays is a very, very smart thing to do, right? Okay, because students are applying to so many schools, or at least some students are applying to multiple schools where there are similar kinds of prompts. And because there's the common application, they will use that essay as sort of what we refer to as a main essay for most of their schools.
So it has been a point of comedy in recent years, particularly in plays and things like that, that parents are in a panic about getting their child into the right preschool. Mm-hmm. So if that's true, if comedy comes from truth, and it does, then that must mean that the panic ensuing in the minds of parents about college is even worse. And I know that you've both said, chill out. Mm-hmm. Parents shouldn't, they worry too much about this. Have a sense of humor about this, parents. How can you have a sense of humor about this when your child's whole future is dependent upon which school they get into, and your whole bank account depends on it too?
Because they're a lot more resilient than I think most parents give credit to their children, right? I mean, whether they get into their first choice school or they don't, the likelihood is they're going to be happy where they end up, right? So if they've put together a good list and they've done their research about why the school is a good fit for them, then they should have some reach schools, some target schools, some safety schools, and they'll get in some places and they'll very likely not get in some other places. and they're going to just be fine.
Are they? Well, you have said that the college you go to doesn't determine the person you are going to be. It is not life or death. But we all know that people who go to Ivy League schools come out with a pedigree and a set of connections that last a lifetime and advance them through the world rather nicely. So doesn't it really determine who you're going to be?
Well, anything determines who you're going to be. I don't think, there's one way or another to look at that. If you take the really long view, of course, we hear about all the successes from the Harvards and the Yales and so on, but there are plenty of people who graduate and who are doing just fine without making a lot of waves. And there are plenty of people who go to the University of Iowa, who go to the University of Illinois, who are doing amazing things with their lives.
Let's bring it down to North Carolina, because everybody in North Carolina wants to go to Chapel Hill, because if you go to Chapel Hill, you are set in North Carolina, because it is the Princeton, Yale, Notre Dame. Then, of course, there's Duke, which is the private version of that. Right. So if you don't get into Duke or you don't get into Chapel Hill, are you going to be okay if you go to some other state school, some other system, university system, North Carolina University System school?
Absolutely. You mean another state school within North Carolina?
Yeah.
Absolutely. NC State is a fabulous school, which I just wanted to bring up about the change in deadlines for because of Florence, that University of South Carolina has extended its early action deadline to 10/21, to October 21st from October 15th. And NC State has extended their deadline from October 15th to November 1st.
What about Clemson and USC?
Not that I have heard
of. Okay. We've talked about financial aid and money, and it's obviously important. And if you have your heart set on an expensive school, it's really important. How easy is it to get enough aid to make an expensive school affordable? Or should you just say, you can't go there? Will.
Well, Lee, help me out here.
No, she didn't want it.
Oh, she was pointing it to him. Give it to him. You've got to plan ahead for these things. When kids are born, every parent should know they have 17 years to plan. And if you arrive at that point and need to throw yourself on the mercy of financial aid, then that's a really tough spot to be in. And you really do have to make some hard decisions for your kid, and to say, look, this is the situation financially, and we're going to have to work it out. The problem, especially for a lot of middle class folks, is they often fall right in the middle of the financial aid world. So they're not wealthy enough to pay for it themselves, and they make too much to
There is some good news, which is that there is quite a bit of merit aid out there. And, a school like University of South Carolina offers in-state tuition to any out-of-state student with certain thresholds of test scores and grades.
So before we run out of time, very quickly, let me go through some emails that we've gotten while we've been talking from listeners. Eric emails, for juniors planning for SAT-ACT testing this year, should they send the scores to colleges up front or wait until they've received and then send? Is there a benefit to take the test twice in the junior year?
So this is a subjective question, but I always say wait and see. You don't know if you ended up having a bad day. Wait and see what the scores are. And yes, I would say you should take the test more than once.
And remind us what FAFSA is?
Sure. Free Application for Federal Student Aid.
Tim wants to know who FAFSA really benefits.
Who it benefits? Well, you can't get any need-based aid if you don't fill it out. So I recommend that all my families fill it out, even if they don't think they're going to qualify.
Okay. Ellen wants to know, people are usually unaware that of the keys to writing a good essay is the writing style, a narrative. If you know this, you are well ahead of the game. Also, this has to be personal, using anecdotes and making the storyline come alive. So there's a little tip there from a listener about this. we have raised a generation of what has been referred to in the popular culture as helicopter parents. And you've already referred to them, Will, as calling up and pretending to be their student as they talk to college counselors. And one of the things we also have heard about anecdotally is that once kids get into school, parents will call and want to talk to the teacher about why Johnny or Susie did not get an A on the, and by God, you better give her one. So you suggest, Will, that parents discover that they may be overly involved in this process. And I think, Lee, you have said this is a rite of passage for students. Get out of the way. Let them experience it.
Right. Absolutely. The other I wrote about a while ago that this sort of trend of parents getting an apartment in the town where the child is going to school for the first month of school, so that, God forbid, Buffy needs some toilet paper or whatever, that the parent would be there to take care of these kinds of things. And I just find it absolutely outrageous that parents would feel the need to be doing that. But, my niece, her best friend was going to a school, and her best friend is doing it, and my sister called me and said, "Do you think I need to get an apartment?" And I was like, "Absolutely not." So, yeah.
No.
As hard as it may be. Go ahead.
I learned another term the other day, aside from helicopter parent, which is snowplow parent.
I wrote about that.
Which is... Yeah.
No, it's okay. No. Go ahead. It's a great term.
A parent think of the image. It goes ahead and tries to get rid of all the snow that's piled up in front of the kid, so the kid has a nice clear path to whatever the goal is.
Great image. Yeah.
Yep. That's another. Yeah. I think if parents could have a little bit of self-consciousness about that, they might think twice about doing these things, because it really only embarrasses them and it mortifies their kids in a lot of respect.
Wilner Dix is a college admissions expert, contributor to Forbes, works with students on the college admissions process, and a former admissions officer at Amherst. Thank you for being with us. Lee Beer has also been here, college admissions coach and president of College Admissions Strategies. Lots to think about. We just scratched the surface. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.